So first of all, for those of you that don't know, Stephen and Serena messing with me this morning. My dad passed away to that song. We were in the hospital room. And it happened in October, this past October. We're in the hospital room, and it's not a sad thing. It's not sad. We're in the hospital room, and we know that he was at the end. They put him at this thing that they call comfort care, where they just kind of quit trying, you know, and they just kind of let the body slip, you know, and they actually kind of get out of the way and let it happen like it's supposed to, you know. And so anyway, my little sister started singing this song. And it was six of us in there, myself, and I have two. I've got two siblings, a brother and a sister. I'm the smartest of the three. And there it is. Yeah, you were looking for it. And anyway, we were in there with our spouses, and Gretchen, that's my sister, she started singing that song, and by the time we had finished, we sang the whole thing. Your goodness is running after it, the whole thing. By the time we had finished, he had slipped out, so y'all messing with me this morning. It was a good memory. It was a good memory. It's a good moment for me. Yeah, just beautiful. You know, death is part of life, right? It's God's there. If he's all your life, if he's been faithful to be there, why would he run away from that moment when we slip off into what we have no clue what it's going? We don't know. That's one thing out there where people have gone. People have gone before us, but they can't tell us how it is. You know what I mean? There's a lot of unknowns there. And it's, instead, yeah, we can't comprehend it. And instead of producing fear in us, it should produce expectancy in us. That, yes, whenever the Bible says that when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. There should be an expectancy of that moment in our lives. There should be, like, we should be looking for that moment where we actually get to see the face of Jesus. It's not anything to be afraid of. No, he doesn't want us scared. It's not anything to be afraid of. So don't fear it. Do not fear it. Step into it boldly, because you're going to go see the Master. Amen. So anyway, they were messing with me this morning during praise and worship, and I had a couple of little old things sorted out that I was going to talk about this morning, and had dwelt on it this morning when I got up, and it all just got changed about 2 seconds ago. So we're going to step over into the unknown is what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to be preaching on the fly is what's happening here. So bear with me as we go through this. I did not intend, is that the way I always do it? Thanks, Paul. That's right. So, you know, I did eventually want to land in this area with our church. I believe that we are a place that spawns ministry. It's what we do here. Not only do we spawn ministry from here, but we support ministry from here. Hallelujah. I believe that this place is a light. It's light in darkness. And this, to me, is at the core of who we are. Our mantra, the little slogan that we have is do something, right? But in the do something, there's just so much more involved with that. And at the core of actually the doing, I think, is what I'm going to kind of go after this morning. Hey, Miss Nola. I said Nola. Yeah. No, I said Nola. Quit messing with me. I'm having a moment here. My wife will not leave me alone. I'm having a moment. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's laugh a little bit first. How about that? What is orange and sounds like a parrot? A carrot. See, somebody finally got it. Yeah, Paul got it over there. Let's see. What's the difference between an elephant and a flea? What's the difference between an elephant and a flea? That boy knew it. Y'all give it up for Joel over here. He's killing it. Wow. Repeat it. Elephant. What's the difference between an elephant and a flea? An elephant can have fleas, but a flea can't have elephants. I mean, it's dad jokes, right? Yeah. Yeah. What do you call alphabet soup mixed with a laxative? let her rip. I thought that one was good. Definitely church appropriate. Every year, April the 30th, I get to go to a family reunion that we have every year on April the 30th. And there's a lot of history behind why we do this and why we meet. I went there this past Thursday and I've been the minister, kind of called upon for the past, decade or so, a little bit longer. I've been doing this for a while. I meet with the family. We have this family reunion. We eat a lot of food. There's a ton of food there. We sing a little bit of music, praise and worship, and then we get time of ministry, and the time of ministry would stretch on for hours on end. I didn't get home till after midnight Thursday night, and we started at 5:30, so that ought to give you some sort of idea of what it's like. It's a much like an Azusa Street kind of attitude there. Lots of things of the Spirit. A lot of seeking God and seeking the face of God, wanting to know what the next year is going to bring, and then also to look back on where we've been, where we've come from, where we've been, and where we are. And we do that annually. And I did that Thursday, and I sought the Lord, Thursday on what I needed to speak at this gathering, and He gave me a word. And just a few minutes ago, it was revealed to me. He was like, "You're not going to do what you came here to do. You're going to go here." So we're going to go here. And this place, like I said, is at the core of what I believe who we are. And this is how we do things. At least it's the way that I do them. Amen. So y'all ready to get into it? Let's go to Zechariah. I'm going to go to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah, he's a prophet. Zechariah is the book of Zechariah showing and depicting the rebuilding of the temple. The temple in Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt, and a guy by the name of Zerubbabel, or however you want to say it, ask him when you get to heaven how to pronounce his name. He was charged with rebuilding the temple. In the rebuilding of the temple, he realized that it was a mighty, mighty, mighty feat that he had been called to do. He had been called to do a thing and to rebuild and to replant and to remake a place for God's people to worship, to praise, and to sacrifice unto the Lord. Okay? That's what he's building here. And not only is it a place, it is going to stand for years to come. It was a daunting task. And so what's happening here is Zechariah is telling the process of how the Lord was prepping everyone, the children of Israel, and more importantly, the gentleman that is to build the thing and be responsible for it. It was he and another fellow that were responsible for it. And I can't remember the other guy's name, and that's not that important. What is important is that Zechariah starts to reveal to everyone that this is going to be a daunting task. Y'all know what I mean by that? It's going to be a little bit more than what you think you can handle. The first thing that I'll tell you here this morning is that if God has given you a vision and it doesn't scare you, you haven't stayed in His presence long enough. If you remember last week, I talked about faith, hope, and love, these three, to abide in faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Y'all remember? Ain't got no gas in it. Love fuels our faith, but faith brings our hopes or our visions into the now. If your faith is working on something that doesn't scare you, if your faith is working on something that you could probably get done on your own, then you have not dug deep enough into what God truly has for you. You haven't taken the time. You have not taken the time. And if there's anything that we do in the day and age of 2026 is we don't take our time. We don't. Right now, oh, it ain't no problem, Chris. You know it ain't. I'll tell y'all what happened in a second. It's not fun. It's quite all right. Right now, all of us are, if we're not thinking about all of the things we need to do today because we're paying such good attention to Pastor Greg, if Pastor Greg was to stay up here for another 3 or 4 hours, we would probably wander off into the things that we're going to get done today. And that's what we would be, that's where we would go off to. Because for us, we have to keep moving and we have to keep going and keep moving and keep going. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that what? Faith, now faith is. When is faith, Joel? Now. It's now. And now can be the longest moment in your life if you're willing to stop and let it happen. Now could take forever. It literally can. Have you ever found yourself at a church service or at a praise and worship deal, or you, just yourself, you're singing praise and worship or doing something, and it's focusing on God, and you get finished and you're like, oh, that was it? You ever done that one? You want to know why? Because God lives in the now. That's where He resides. He doesn't reside on a timeline like we do. And when you enter into now, you're entering into the realm of God, where He is and where faith really exists right there in that moment. And now God is able to talk. And when we're with Him in the now, all of a sudden, we get a lot done in a real short period of our time without even realizing what's going on. If you slow down, I could promise you, you'll get more done. Just slow down. I don't know who that's for, but that's for somebody. And so what I try to do and what I attempt to do and what we're going to bring out is that we have got to stop trying to make a thing happen and trying to produce a thing on our own. That's what this is going to be all about. We have to realize, guys, that there is a God. He is God. He is Jehovah. He has sent His Son and given us His Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has taken care of and won every victory that you may possibly need. If you read the back of the book, you find out that at the end of time, we're on the winning team. He has given you the victory through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself. He has given you His Son, He's given you His Word, and He has given you of His Spirit. And now, He is begging and pleading with us, CCAM, us, right here, to release it to Him and let Him do the work. And y'all looking at me funny, but you're going to see what I'm talking about. Zechariah chapter 4. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking. And there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Are y'all getting this? Let's slow down. We're going too fast already, ain't we? Y'all like, what? What'd he say? Zechariah is asleep. The Lord wakes him up. The angel of the Lord wakes him up and starts to say, hey, what do you see? And he said, I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold. And there's a lamp and a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Y'all with me? Can you kind of visualize it in your head a little bit? They got pictures online. You can ask Google later of what this kind of looks like. Verse 3, two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other is on its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Now I would probably do the same thing if I was asked by an angel. First of all, why are you waking me up in the middle of the night? I'm trying to sleep. I got stuff to do tomorrow. Then secondly, what you want me to look at, I'm looking at some really weird stuff. In fact, it makes you wonder, you know, it's almost like, man, Zechariah, what did you drink before you went to bed? Have you been smoking something? But the lampstand has two trees beside it. And I'm not going to get into all the gory little detail we may at some other time because I didn't bring my notes with me. Not for this. But the lampstand has on either side of it olive trees. And the olive trees are pouring the oil into the lampstand. And olive trees with oil, olive oil, we use it a lot. Those that you cook use it a lot. We actually use it in this building whenever we pray for people. In fact, it's a picture of the oil of the anointing is what's being shown here. And I'm going to go on to read for just a second, but I need you to think about this for a minute, because oil is going to, as we progress, and I'm going to be on this for a minute, but as we progress through this teaching, oil is going to become very important, all right, for us to see it, look at it, understand it. Is there anything supernatural about oil? No, there's not. Anything supernatural about it at all. You can go to the grocery store right now and buy all the oil you want to, or you can go to the mechanic shop and get some stuff that I probably wouldn't pour on myself, but, you know, you can get it. The oil becomes a contact point or a type or a shadow or an example of the Spirit of God. If you go into the next scripture there, Charles. The angel talked with me and he answered, said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Verse 6. So he answered, "What are these things? What is this?" And this is heaven talking to you. This is heaven talking to us. This is the word of the Lord for those of you that are listening. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. This is a moment. He answered and said unto him, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." I can't really say his name. I'm going to get it right at some point. "It's not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." And everybody goes, "Ooh, wow." We have a tendency to want to do it all. We have a tendency, even those of us that believe that if you speak to this mountain and you say, "Be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea," and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that the things that you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. Those of us that believe that, we still try to do it on our own with our words. We have, for far too long, CCAM, gotten involved in God's business instead of staying on our side of the fence. We have a job to do. No doubt, we are to do something. There is no question that we should move. Faith without action is dead. James told us that. We have to move as if it's true. We have to act as if things are true. We have to believe so much that we're willing to act upon what we believe. But we shall never, ever, ever get in the business of God's doing. We have to step back and realize that what He has asked us to do is far beyond our own power. If it were not far beyond our power, He wouldn't have asked us to do it. He has to get involved with it. He has to put us in a state where faith has to come out. He has to be glorified. If you do it, you get the glory. He must be glorified in everything that we do. There has to be a release that takes place in our lives. There has to be a let go that we have in our lives. We must understand. Look, if we look at, let me back up. Not by might. Do we even know what might means? If you look up the Hebrew word for might, you find out that not only does this mean like a great number of people, it also means finances. Your finances that you apply to the kingdom of God mean nothing if you get in the way and don't allow Him to move upon that medium, that path, that rail that you've placed for that money to move on. If you try to make something happen with it, you have gotten in His business. It's not by might. And don't get me wrong. I would love for every one of you to be able to give $1 million to this place. We would just blow the roof off of it in a heartbeat. I would love for that to happen. But it's not by that. That helps. That's part of it. We must give. The Bible even tells us and dares us to give. Remember, try me now in this and see if I won't do it. But it's not by might. I just have a little. Great. Do with the little. Drop the little in the bucket and release it to Him. Don't attempt to make a thing happen with it. What you're doing is you're glorifying Him right there. And as soon as we give, as soon as we write the check, as soon as we hit the send on the text, however it is that we're given, as soon as we do that, we have to release it and let him do it, not by might nor by power. This power actually means your own strength. Your own strength will not do it, CCAM. You have to have help. I have to have help. We have to have help. No matter what it is that you're believing God for and seeking God for and looking to Him for, if you're in this building, if you're watching on here, there's something in you that is yearning for what He has, right? You can't do it in your own power. Stop. Stop. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it comes through a release of the Spirit of God in your life. To allow Him to move. To allow Him to stretch. To allow Him to actually speak in your life. So many of us in the church age today, the church age, we are looking for why God's not moving. Why this? Why that? What's going on? What's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. It's not only that it ain't got no gas in it, but we are trying to do something that God has said I would do myself. Why is it that tongues are just so scary to people? Because in that moment, where you open your mouth and you begin to say words that you don't understand, you have released yourself out of everything that's taken place. You've completely taken your hands off of it. You're not even praying words that you understand. It's not by might. It's not by your power, but it's by His Spirit. The Spirit of God longs to move in your lives, in the lives of your children. He longs to move in this place. He longs to move on the vision that He has placed on the inside of you. But we're too busy trying to make it happen with our money. We're trying to make it happen in our own strength instead of releasing it to Him. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God Himself. Jesus said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send you another helper, comforter, strengther, the standby. He said, I'm going to send you the helper. Let Him help you, CCAM. Let Him help you. It is time for all of us to step over into the next phase of whatever God's trying to do here. He's doing it here. He's doing it at your homes. He's doing it at work. He's ready. The Spirit sits ready. On the inside of me, it feels like, y'all remember the Ark of the Covenant, right? And it sat behind a big curtain. And the Ark of the Covenant, the Spirit of God sat on what was called the mercy seat, which is a little spot between the two. Y'all seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? Yeah. Remember the two angels on top and their wings were coming together? Right there where the wings point is what was called the mercy seat, and the Spirit of God sat right there. And He sat there. And He sat there. And He sat there. And He sat there. Sat there. And then one day, the Master Himself gave all that He had for us. And when He said, it is finished, that curtain and veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and the Spirit of God jumped out. But at that moment, right before Jesus gave up the ghost, I just feel like on the inside of me, that's where the Holy Spirit is right now today in your lives. He is waiting to just escape. He wants to jump out. He is so ready to move, and yet He just needs you to remove the veil out of the way. To release the fear, to release the holdback, to release yourself, to let go of self, to let yourself go and reach out and step over into the completed utter unknown. Did I say tutter? That was weird. The complete and tutter. A tuttera. Yeah, shanda. That's right. The boy's already speaking in tongues. We, as a group and individually, are going to stop doing God's job. We're going to stop. We're going to get out of His way. We're going to let Him move. So many people say, Jesus, take the wheel, but they don't want Jesus taking no kind of wheel at all, because they want to drive their car exactly to where they want their car to go, the way they want to go, and as fast or as slow as they want to go. We don't want to give nothing to Him, really, if you think about it. And I'm talking about myself. If we're not careful, we won't give a thing to Him because we're too busy trying to quote the right scriptures over it. We're trying to pray for it. We're trying to use the right confessions on it. And we're doing all the things that we feel like. And at the end of the day, you're attempting to be God in your own life. Stop. Let go. And I'm not saying that confessions are, no, confess. We should speak the word over a situation. But as soon as that word is spoken, if you believe it to happen, it's done. It's done. 100%. Might need reminding from time to time, Miss Emily. I remind myself, yeah, I said that word. But it's done. I can't make a thing happen in my life. Everything that's happened in my life and everything I mean, there's very little that I do. Very little that I do. Yeah, say it again, Joel. Amen. Very little that I do. Because I'm attempting to understand what Zechariah is telling us through the Spirit of God. I'm attempting to understand that it's not by might. It's not by my power. But it's by His Spirit. If we'll just release and let God go, if we'll just, my God. He split seas. The Red Sea. Has anybody ever looked at a map of the Red Sea? It's pretty big. Yeah, it's blue on the map. It's not red. I agree. And I would suggest for those of you that are skeptics and skeptical, as I once was, well, it's got shallow spots, Greg. Well, I'm sure it does have shallow spots. And what I would like for you to do is to make those shallow spots dry. Right now, go. Because it not only said that He split the sea, but they went over on dry land. Can't do it on our own, can we? We might want to just get out the way and let the sea splitter split. You like that? Or you just thought it was silly? Yeah, it's a tongue twister. He fed 5,000 people with two fishes and a couple of, a few, was it five, two fishes, five loaves? Is that right? Yeah, sounds good. You know how He did it? Not by might. He's getting it. Seriously. He's not by might. Not by power. Not by power. But how did He do it? Immediately He looks up and He gives thanks for what He has, and then He says, pass it out. That might work. He said, pass it out. I bet the disciples was like, what? Just pass it out. Do you know what He didn't do? He didn't speak over it at all. He prayed to God and thanked God for what was there and then said, pass it out. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You got to be real crazy to get where I'm fixing to go. You got to be wild, and you got to understand that the best thing you could do is just get out the way. Just get out the way. Our master showed us how to do it. Amen? So next week, we will get over into more of the things this... No, we won't. Next week's going to be Mother's Day, isn't it? This is what it sounds like when I'm not prepared, okay? Y'all can tell I kind of made it up. I don't have that good left hook, you know, like the ending little statement, pow. But I believe that the Lord is lighting something in us. He's lighting something in us. And he's fanning the flames on the inside of us. He says that, the Bible says that he'll make his ministers like burning fire. Isn't that right? Like burning fire, fire shut up in my bones. You know, it's like he'd make his ministers of fire. He is fanning, he is lighting, and he is fanning the flames in you. In you. He's ready to take care of the little stuff that you're looking at today. Oh, thank you, Lord. He's ready to take care of the little stuff you're looking at today. He's prepared to do it and even already knows how to get it done, y'all. He knows exactly what needs to happen to take care of all your little problems today. Where he needs to get you to is get you to a point to where you start praying for and looking for and thinking on the problems you don't even know exist yet. The challenges that don't even exist yet. He wants to go so far beyond what you can think right now, it would blow your mind if you could see what he sees. He's ready. He's fanning the flames in you. He's going to show us how to get there. Thank you, Lord, because I don't know. He's going to show us how to get there. He's going to show us how to do it. and he guarantees it'll be by him and by his spirit and not you. Amen? Let's all stand. Let's go. It's time to go. Hallelujah. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, and that's okay. If you hang out for about 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to get it. You're going to understand. We are a faith church. We believe God. And we do it the correct biblical way. Amen? That's what we do here. That includes praying in a language that we don't understand. We do that here. We do it. Because we don't know how. We don't know how to get it done, but we know that God does. Amen? So if you hang out with us for the next 2 or 3 weeks, 7 months, 10 years, whatever it comes to, you will find that you could tap in to the Spirit of God and you could tap in to a lifestyle that's free. Free. Get to be free. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here that you don't know who Jesus is, you've never been saved, you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven when you die, slip your hand up. You're not sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, throw your hand up. I'll pray for you right now, and it'll be dealt with. Anybody at all? It's kind of led that way. So everybody knows they're going to heaven. There's no doubt in this. I don't want any doubt in this room. Amen. No doubt. All right, cool. Father, we thank you that we are all brothers and sisters heading to our heavenly home. And on the way there, Lord, we will purpose to not try to do it on our own, not try to do it in our own power, not try to throw money at it or anything of that nature, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we will do it in and through and by your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody agreed with that said? Y'all have a good day.